Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Good morning, video games. Welcome to Filthy Casuals, a podcast about video games, hosted by three very kind and extremely knowledgeable boys. Thank you for joining us. My name is Tommy Dasilo, and with me, as always...
It's Ben Vanell here, Tommy. It's great to be here on Filthy Casuals, joined by a man drinking pink Gatorade in an absolute tip-top condition.
It is not pink Gatorade. It is strawberry Gatorade, all right?
Well, what color is it then?
Man
salmon.
Red.
Salmon.
It's man red. Yeah, it's pink. I like pink. It's also one of my favorite colors for lights. My name's Adam Knox. Hey, Siri, turn the lights pink. You see that
Whoa,
shit?
Go, yeah. Holy
yeah.
shit.
Yeah, so, we're in the pink right now.
Hey, Siri, make one of them. Oh, sorry for anyone whose thing I
Why'd they turn off?
Activated. Because I said make one of them. I don't know. Okay. That was actually kind of weird. She must have assumed it as turn them off in some way. I got some Philips Hue lights to be a real gamer. Wish I'd have done it while we were locked inside for months.
Yes.
Because it really brightens the place up. Quite literally. Yes. How many lumens you rocking, dude? Oh, not many.
Is that a Death Stranding thing, lumens?
No, lumens is a measurement of brightness.
I swear.
Maybe they use lumens
I think it's used one of their like fake... nouns, proper nouns for one of their weird things.
Maybe. It's the thing that you're measuring. You know those like on a film set when they hold that big rectangle?
Yeah, the big reflective thing. Or
no,
the big
no,
white
no.
thing with, to like measure in the camera.
No,
okay,
handheld.
Can I have another guess?
Yes.
The person who's on the screen saying lines pretending to be someone else.
That's an actor.
Oh, okay.
No, I'm not talking about actors.
I thought you were talking about Lumen.
Yeah, Lucy Lumen.
Yeah,
is that who
there
you meant?
We go. That's better. Yeah, that's a better one.
Ludens.
Ludens.
Death Stranding.
Yeah. They were talking about Ludens in that.
Yeah.
A lumen is, the average LED light that your modern globes does about 900 to 1100 lumens. Mm-hmm. Something like that.
Okay, 9/11, yeah. Actually quite a dark day, ironically.
But it was in the daylight hours.
Yeah, true.
Not here. During the nighttime.
I like blue flavor.
Yeah, me too. I got two of them because they were two for $6.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah.
Speaking of Death Stranding.
I want to review these lights put them on my tax.
Yeah.
They're good. All right.
We got a full demo the other day where you showed us you can like program it to like a picture and it'll match
that's really cool.
Palette of that. Yeah.
You can put a photo into the app and it'll make the lights. Yeah, exactly what you said.
Mm-hmm.
The color scheme from those that picture. But it's great.
We came in here and it was like a beautiful sort of dark green, which suggested that you were trying to live in the Pepe the Frog meme.
That was the idea.
Yeah,
I was hoping that it came across as well. I really wanted you to think that I was trying to make my room look like Pepe the Frog.
Yeah,
it's a nice little thing. You can get cheaper options than the Philips Hue things do.
Yeah.
I got those ones because they integrate with everything, and I think integration is important.
Right.
And the thing of having voice controlled lights is great if you're like, you know, lying down.
Yep.
Maybe you want to go to sleep.
Interesting. Yeah.
Maybe you didn't turn your lights off.
Right. So you get up, you walk over to the light switch, and you whisper into it.
Yeah. Can you turn off, please?
Hey, light switch. I'm really tired. It's the middle of the night, and you've been on for ages. And like, you don't have to be on all day with me, buddy.
Yeah.
You can just be you.
You can switch off, man.
You can just be you.
You can switch off.
Anyway, I've got one of those cheaper options you were talking about. You've got the Philips Hue. I've got the Philips Hues.
Okay.
Hey, Theory.
Theory. Make the kids shut up.
I've got a problem. You're too bright. Can you turn down a little bit, please?
But yes, we do need to follow up on something from last week. Speaking of Death Stranding.
Oh yes.
We were speculating wildly last week.
Yeah, why
what possibly could the announcement have been from Kojima Productions that had been sizzled up by
Ludwig?
Ludwig.
Yeah.
The great man Ludwig. Yep. He seemed to be he was breaking the story that there was going to be perhaps some new project announced. Mm-hmm. And
he tweeted something along the lines of, "Stay tuned, everybody.
Yep. Big announcement coming.
Big announcement coming tomorrow."
Yes.
So we thought, because there had also been some rumors, legitimate ones, it seems like still. Obviously, Kojima Productions will make another game.
Yep.
Yeah.
And it seemed as though they were gearing up to maybe announce when that will be or what it might be or, some sort of... And I would have assumed it was an announcement of an announcement.
Like, yeah, you're right, because they're probably about due to make another game. But you know what is also about due to happen?
What's that?
Ludwig leaving the company and beginning his life as a freelance composer.
The big news that we were speculating about turned out to be, I quit. Who am I?
Yeah.
The music guy that you didn't know worked at Kojima Productions.
Yeah.
But he's been working there for 10 years, apparently.
And I did see a bunch of filth saying, like, this is a genuine shame. He's a great composer. And I don't remember, like, I can't, hum the tunes from Death Stranding, but I did like the music.
The soundtrack was really good.
Right. Oh, yes,
like,
true.
Commissioned, like, song, like, churches did a song for and stuff,
But I don't remember much of the score either, really. Metal Gear Solid was a similar thing, Metal Gear Solid 5 at least, which if he's been there for 10 years, he assumed he did that too.
Yeah.
I don't really remember...
It would be funny if him...
But good for... I mean, like, I don't remember the music being bad either.
It works in the way that some film scores do, where they're not obtrusive and they just, underline the action.
I would imagine doing atmospheric music well is even harder, possibly.
Yeah.
Because I noticed it in movies like...
fucking hell.
I lean the chair back.
He reclined his chair and then the microphone cord... Oh, sorry, the headphone cord was stretched to its absolute limit.
Well, what's the point of a cord if you're not going to use the length of it?
That's very true.
And also... No one had to know.
Yeah, well, we knew.
Exactly. And so it's your fault that took up any of anyone's time.
I'll just recline on my comfortable chair there. Oh, well, I can't.
No, well, you get your own house.
Would love to record at mine.
It's too far away.
Yeah.
So come all the way to mine.
Yeah.
Anyway, what were we saying? Yeah. Good for him. Good luck. Harder to do a thing because... There Will Be Blood is the first time I ever really noticed like atmospheric-y kind of music because I knew it was Johnny Greenwood doing it and I liked him.
Mm-hmm.
But it would have blended, and the point is to blend it into the background. So it's probably an even more difficult skill to hone.
This announcement of him leaving Kojima Productions and being freelance, it would be funny if his next freelance job that he undertakes is doing the score on the next Kojima Productions game. It's like he could very well just still end up doing music for them. Yeah. Just
without sick leave.
Exactly, yeah. The casual day rate is a lot better than the salary.
Yeah, he's just gaming. He's just gaming Kojima. Yes. He's like, fuck you, man.
I love gaming.
I'm going to clean up. Yeah, me too.
Me too.
I love watching digital events about gaming too. It's something I've traditionally enjoyed.
I have enjoyed that in the past too. Mm-hmm. And the luster has worn off a little bit in the last year or two.
Yeah.
So if there was some sort of way that the excitement around digital events, digital announcement promotional events could be brought back, I'd be all for that.
Yeah, I mean, if someone could just invent, say, kind of like a week or so, maybe in the middle of the year, where you have all these kind of things happen at once. It's never been done before, certainly as far back as I can remember.
Yeah.
Someone could break ground by putting on an event like some sort of expo.
If there was an expo like that, you'd imagine we'd have talked about it a whole fucking bunch lately if it were on its way out.
Mm.
And if it were to come back, you'd think we'd be across that news. But this is just us speculating.
Yeah. We're talking about Sexpo 2021, right?
That's it.
Yeah.
No, E3 did make an announcement during the week that they're going freelance. It will be happening once again as a digital event, and there is a list of companies that have said that they are signed up to host events during it. So you have Nintendo, Xbox, Capcom, Konami, Ubisoft, Take-Two, Warner Brothers, and Koch Media, Sony...
Coke Media,
Is that how you say it?
The Coke Brothers.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And it's Konami.
Yep. Also, it's Nintendo.
Yeah.
Okay.
And
Xbox.
Xbox.
Ubisoft. Taketwa. Warner Bros.
I used to...
That's all of them.
It's Ubisoft, right? Because I was saying Ubisoft.
Yeah. I used to pronounce it that way too, but apparently it is Ubisoft.
Yeah.
Like UB40.
Right.
Everyone knew what I meant, guys. Come on.
I knew what you meant. I was just pissed off at the way you said it. Leaning back in my chair ain't making me that relaxed.
So, there is still not any word from the following. Sony, Ear.
Wait, what's Ear?
Active.
Oh, EA. Yeah.
Okay. That one's actually really hard to say wrong. Activision.
Activision.
Yeah. Blizzard.
Nice.
Blizzard.
Activision Blizzard.
Yep. And Sega. Mm.
Sega.
Sega, yeah.
Yep. Bandai Namco, another one that's actually really hard to say wrong.
Bandai Namco.
Yep, there you go. And Square Enix.
Nice. Square Enix. Wait, that's close enough to Square.
Yeah.
I have a feeling that may have... Squaresoft. I have a feeling that may have been very annoying for anyone actually trying to take in the information. So Sony, EA, Activision, Blizzard, Sega, Bandai Namco and Square Enix haven't said yet whether or not they will be involved. Mm. But I think Sony
was
have
off
actually
the last
said that they're not...
Yeah.
It's probably a fair bet that they won't.
Well, they weren't in the last one or two of the real life E3s either.
Yeah.
So they'd be off the wagon.
But like Nintendo, someone like Sega, it would be pretty surprising if they weren't in. But
I guess so. I'm surprised to hear that Konami are going to bother. I mean, unless they're just showing the next Pro Evolution Soccer game.
Right.
I think they've had like a small room at the last few E3s where they were just like, yeah, we're doing an update to soccer. We got all the new players in here.
Right.
Like Ronaldo.
Right.
No demo units. It's just one guy sitting in a closet by himself waiting for people to come past.
Standing in there playing like keepy uppies with the fucking soccer ball. Being like, huh? One more of this? You can.
Don't go to FIFA. Come back.
Well, there were little rumors going around, and I don't remember how valid they were. Probably not very, because we didn't talk about it on here. About Konami.
For us to not talk about something, it has to be.
We'll talk about a guy slightly changing job.
And yes. Like, yes. One tweet. One fake tweet.
But if the news on this was just us trying to dissect like video game developers who are like, I don't want to say who this is, but someone made the wrong enemy today.
Yeah.
Just vague Facebook posts.
Calling out the snakes in the video game industry. Oh, look, we posted a photo of himself in a hospital bed and no caption.
Well, guess it's that time again. That Konami might be looking to redo... Like maybe do a Metal Gear Solid remake or do something with Metal Gear Solid and with Castlevania again.
Right.
And maybe Silent Hill. But I think that also is very much wishful thinking from people half the time as well. Because I would like those things to come back. But,
yes, you know, that would be cool.
Well, and Konami's the businesses that they were doing, I think their pachinko stuff is still going well, but they're like spa businesses and stuff, I understand, are not doing as well after the outbreak of a pandemic.
Mm-hmm.
So... We'll see.
Pachinko, though, that'd still be raking it in for him.
Oh, man. Yep. He was so good in The Godfather.
Yes.
Oh, God, I was so nervous I wouldn't be able to remember a movie he was in.
Yes.
I love Pachinko in Heat.
Yeah.
Someone, man.
He looks
someone,
real sexy then.
Someone get over to Japan and fire up the Pachinko. Yeah. You know, they're very loud, those pachinko
pumps.
Exactly. Exactly. Imagine that over the sound of coins clinking.
Great ass.
Oh, yes.
Mocha.
But yeah, looking forward to that, honestly. Like,
I'm in the dark here. That's another one.
What else has he been in?
I was checking Carlito's Way. You remember that famous quote from Carlito's Way? Get out of Carlito's Way! Carlito, coming through! Mm-hmm. I'll say hello to my little friend.
Al Hi, Pachinko. Tommy. Oh.
So the ones who are saying they're there.
Yeah.
That was Xbox, Nintendo. Nintendo, it's weird that they were like... They've kind of been all digital. They weren't physically there for a couple of years as well, but they were just like, oh, well, we'll put out a
we'll
thing
do our
during
thing
then.
Yeah. That we would do around then anyway.
And you'd imagine that this year that is the Switch Pro thing announcement probably.
Mm. Yeah.
And that would make sense for them to want to do that on as large a scale as possible.
Yeah.
But yeah, cool. A digital event for E3. Yep. I don't know how it went from I feel like a month ago or something, they were like, oh, we're dead.
Yeah, the company's going under.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And now it's, hey, guess what? We're back and we're better than ever, baby.
And everyone bought in, not just like, hey, we're back and we're doing it and we'll see who's on board. It's like, right, we're back and Xbox and Nintendo are a part of it.
Yeah. Like, I we're Netflix 2 now.
Yeah.
So, be interesting to see in 2 months.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's crazy.
It does.
Yeah. June or July?
It's kind of like, oh, wow, it's ages away. If that's like the next Nintendo Direct, but then it's really not. Like, it'll go pretty
quick. It's like 8-9 weeks.
Yeah.
Yeah. You can have a fucking... No, you can't. That's months. Baby in that time, yeah. You could have an unhealthy baby in that time.
If you were 8 months pregnant now, then
you could have
a baby in that time.
I could have a baby today.
And hey, shout out to any of our listeners that are currently 8 months pregnant.
Mm. Anyone that far down the line, hell yeah, dude. You're nearly there.
Put the microphone, the earphone up to the stomach.
Yeah. Instead of Beethoven.
Yes. Well, you know, in order to make a baby, you could say that in a lot of cases, two people have to come together.
Yes.
Or at least one of them has to come.
Well, yes.
Yeah, one of the people is physically capable of coming and the other one cannot, as I believe is the case in the world.
It Takes Two is a new video game.
Yes,
it is.
That we have been playing for the next installment of our Let's Play series.
Mm-hmm.
We started it the other week. It's the only time we've done like a kind of current game for one of these.
Yep.
Thought we'd give that a little plug. Go and look for that happening very soon on the YouTube channel.
It's already
currently if you're on Patreon.
Mm. Exactly.
Mm. Yep. Thought we'd give it a little bit of a sizzle here and talk a little bit about the game itself.
We're like 2 hours in, so this is sort of, you know,
less
preliminary.
Than even.
Yeah, probably.
We're like 1 hour in.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because we've done two episodes that we just recorded quickly the other day.
Yep.
They're 30-something minutes each. You two are playing.
Yes.
It is a split-screen cooperative game, or you can do it online as well. You get a free online copy. We mentioned this in the thing, but it's pretty cool that you buy it. It's $60 in Australia at least, and then two people can play over the internet with that one copy.
You don't both need to own it.
No.
Yeah, which is great.
Yeah, Very considerate. It's by the makers of A Way Out, Haze Light.
That sounds right.
I think he's a developer, yeah. And we've also played A Way Out. That whole Let's Play is on our YouTube. I think we all enjoyed that as a cooperative experience, as you know, and also as a performance thing, you know, like it was a fun riff tracks thing to do.
Right.
But it wasn't the greatest game in the world. I think that's fair to say.
It wasn't fun to play really at any point.
Yeah.
Because it was a lot more, it was a very sort of, not quick time events, but like specific little, hold this button to shift slightly up this dumb, wall you're climbing up. Remember you have to climb up
like a little elevator
like
shaft and stuff. Yeah.
Push this trolley around a bit, do some bad shooting.
Yeah, like you pick this thing up and then you distract the guard while you walk. The other guy walks past them.
It was a lot of just movement and button prompt type stuff. So very unengaging sort of gameplay, I felt. And then the story was pretty hammy in a kind of lame way.
Yeah.
Yeah. But good for our purposes.
Yes.
But
perfect.
I thought it was a good series of videos. Yeah. But as a game, not the best.
But this game so far has been really fun to play.
Yes.
The setup is that you're a fighting couple getting divorced, and your young child kind of watches you fighting and sort of wishes that you could get along, and has these little dolls that she's made of you, and they sort of come to life, and you're then playing as these little doll versions trying to escape through the house and battling vacuum cleaners and things of that nature. So it feels like they quite wisely took what they felt worked or what they learned about how to make a co-op game, and then rather than sort of set it in a realistic setting, they've sort of worked with the most like the best setting for a very cartoony platformer, kind of like you're being shot through the air out of vacuum hoses and things like that. It feels great to play. It's very fluid, fun.
Yeah, the gameplay is awesome. The frame rate, like visually, it looks and performs extremely well. I'm enjoying it. It's just like the Toy Story thing of like you're running around a big living room, but it's really fun as a co-op game.
Well, they've made as a person watching it rather than playing it, the decision to turn it into a platforming game with a lot more real skill-based kind of gameplay stuff that it requires of you seems a lot more engaging to play than that sort of very basic thing that A Way Out kind of had.
Yeah. I think A Way Out, if you want to play through a, like you said, a dumb, hammy story together, like that's probably the one for you. But if you want to actually play a game that you do need to actually cooperate for, then this is great. Because even games like Mario 3D World, where you can play with multiple people, you're just kind of running around knocking each other off ledges and stuff. There's no real elements where you're having to like actually communicate, and
you're being given very defined specific roles in this where it's like you have to do two different things and they need to be done together, which is, it looks really cool to play.
Yeah. So
and it's the puzzle solving's kind of bit of it. Yeah, you do need to talk to each other.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, you need to do this at the exact same time as I do this other thing, and it looks difficult, or you've made it look difficult.
It is actually. You and I were talking.
There's a lot going on.
Yeah.
In between the first one and the second one that we recorded, Adam, you said you were going to have a go of it with your partner.
Yeah.
And I said, oh, I might do the same. And then the next bit we played, I was like, because my girlfriend does not play games at all. I was like, you do need to have a bit of, you do need to kind of actually be relatively skilled at 3D platformers, because it ratchets up pretty quickly.
The
second boss is like pretty tough.
Well, that's the thing. Yeah, I guess we've only been playing it for an hour and a half tops. There's been two boss fights. They're very creative, very classic boss fights, a lot of pattern recognition and timing and, you know, it's a really creative game. I'm surprised. I don't know why, but I am surprised at how good it has been so far.
Well, the story is kind of cheesy again. Like, it very quickly gets them into those doll bodies. They're having pretty, in my opinion, not particularly creative argument type of things. Right. Like, I don't know enough about why this couple is arguing. They're just sort of generic arguing couple at this point. That's, you know what I mean? That's
true. You were meant to take her to the dentist. Oh, I thought that was yesterday. That's
you
right.
You always do this.
Yeah, that's like, it. We're getting a divorce.
Yeah. It's the dialogue is just kind of is almost standing in place for a real conflict. It's like, and maybe deliberately so that you can implant your own things onto it with whoever it brings to mind.
It's not too messed up for a couple of kids to play as well, right? It's just sort of like, these two people are arguing. Let's make them friends again.
Maybe, yeah.
It's also again, I think they've just learned from A Way Out. It's like, let's take the foundation of a co-op game and just kind of make a sort of a completely different style of one where we're not getting too bogged down in the details of the story.
That's what I was going to say. The dialogue being like that doesn't really matter because the story is a lot more pepper this time for the actual game, which in the couple of chunks that we've done so far, very different mechanics that you guys are doing during those sections as well. And it looks like that will be the thing going forward, is that you get an idea in the way that, you know, good Mario games do. It gives you an idea. It does everything you could think of that would be fun to do with that idea, gets it out quickly, and then never touches it again.
Yeah.
Which is...
onto a new thing.
Very funny.
Yeah. You've made the point that it is very funny that it's, you know, a couple wanting to get divorced because it's not working, and it's like, no, you can't do this.
Yeah.
You have to stay together. It's like, it's fine to split up if things aren't going well. And there's a little, when you're turned into the dolls, he's a little book of love who's like guiding you through this, who gives off a real seat sniffer vibe, I've got to say. Really not loving this guy at all.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. If you slid him back into a bookshelf, he'd go like, oh. He's that sort of guy. But it looks like a really good game, and I'm definitely enjoying talking over it.
Yeah, so, looking forward to playing more of it, and really recommend it if you're after a good co-op game where you actually, you know, it's not just one of you kind of like fucking around off the side.
Yeah.
It does feel very satisfying to work together and find the solution to these puzzles. So check it out.
If you're not sure about it still, you could watch a couple people playing it on YouTube.com, and I'm sure there's a bunch of people playing it. You can find it there.
If you're worried that you might not be good enough for it, then take a look at, I think, the second episode in particular when that's out. And we still managed to eventually get through it. So it should really put aside any fears that you have about your own skill level.
Yeah.
Oh, Lord. Also out more recently than It Takes Two is Disco Elysium, the final cut.
Mm. Well, there's another thing that's out literally today, if you want to talk about that real quick. Pac-Man 99.
The sun. Oh. It's beautiful out there.
Yeah it is a really nice day out there. I got the aircon on because I don't feel well.
Yeah.
Not sick, not well, just I'm 31 and I had 3 beers.
Don't worry, folks. You're not going to get COVID from listening to this podcast.
Don't move that headphone away from your pregnant belly. It's okay. I won't give your kid COVID. And also, it's the kid listening, so... You probably didn't hear me say, oh, you're sharing, like you used to do on the bus in high school.
Yep. Yeah.
One earphone each.
If you're the kid, though, don't knock on the tum-tum and be like, turn it off. Audio doesn't transmit COVID.
No.
And also, fuck, you're a clever baby.
Yes.
Good for you. You don't need to listen to this to make you smarter.
Yeah.
You're smarter than me. Mm. I'd never think to knock on the tum-tum.
I have no memories of being in the womb and thinking, I might see what's going on out there.
Man, yeah. I barely remember the womb.
I'm bored. Give me some podcasts.
Yeah.
The Pac-Man 99 got announced just prior to recording.
Mm-hmm.
It is a new one of their 99 games like Tetris 99 or the long-distant Super Mario Brothers 99 that no longer exists anymore. So what's the point of making it in the first place? But it looks cool.
I think that was only 35, wasn't it?
Pac-Man 35.
Yeah.
No, sorry. Mario 35.
I mean Super Mario. I do mean that as well.
Yes.
You continue with this
It does. It really does not
Adam,
matter.
Go sit in front of the air conditioner for a while.
I'm as close as I can get.
But it got announced just before we started recording. It'll be out probably just before this has gone up. So we'll have a chance to play it next week. But similar concept. It looks like it's probably more of a natural fit for that kind of Tetris 99 idea than the Mario games were.
Yeah.
In that it's just a more, I think anything that's on a bit more of a self-contained little screen is probably a bit more ideal for it. But when you eat a ghost, it chucks stuff onto your competitors' screens. And love Pac-Man. Looking forward to trying this.
It looks like it's got little elements of, do you remember Pac-Man Championship Edition DX?
Champion.
Pac-Man Weapon Edition. It was a very, very fun Pac-Man kind of reboot thing where... The point was kind of to eat as many ghosts as possible, and the screen would kind of wipe back and forth and new ghosts would appear and you'd be looking to find the best route through sort of thing.
Right.
It was very fun.
There was also a mobile game that was like an endless Pac-Man where you would kind of be trying to make it up to the top of the screen and then it would like kind of shuffle up. So.
There's been a few different fun little variants on Pac-Man, so this one looks cool. And another free thing for Nintendo Switch Online, so good for them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Anyway, we'll try that out by next week probably.
Big fan of the 99 game universe.
Yeah. So I need to have played the other 98 Pac-Man games to understand what is going on in the video game Pac-Man 99.
I mean, in the case of Tetris
Tommy.
And Pac-Man, there probably are 98 other installments. Like,
oh, yeah.
More than.
Probably, yeah. So, yes, but... What I was saying before, a game of which is one of a kind, in my humble opinion.
Wow.
Disco Elysium. Although not in this goddamn country.
Yeah.
Banned.
Director's cut. Is
the final cut.
Final cut. Yes.
Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah.
So the version for consoles.
The Snyder cut.
The Snyder cut. Well, I mean, I guess it is a bit longer and... Is it
still boring?
It's more stuff in it.
No, this game isn't boring.
So this, this has like full voice acting. Yeah. It's the version for consoles, except the Switch version isn't quite out yet.
It doesn't quite have full voice acting. It's got more.
It's got more. Yeah,
definitely. Yeah. Still, some of the lines aren't there, which feels even weirder when 95% of them are.
I swear to God, in the trailer for it, a big thing they were saying was full voice acting for every line. And I did read about how there was a glitch with the PS5 version very first at launch where something that was happening was some of the dialogue not playing.
Yeah, I was going to say, I've been playing it on PC. I played it when it launched and I've been playing it, updated it and started it again. I had been paying very close attention to that every line of dialogue being a voice acted thing. I haven't noticed any not being voice acted.
It's the bits that don't, like the ones that make sense that they're not voice acted are when someone is talking and then there's like a little bit of description in between two bits of dialogue.
Yeah, yeah.
It will just play the dialogue with that description inferred in the acting, and that's fine. Mm-hmm. But there are just sometimes little descriptive bits that your brain voice should be doing.
Right.
Are just there and they don't get run out.
You guys are both playing on PS5?
PC.
Oh, really?
I'm on PS5, well, right, which makes me think that I've still got, like, I've done an update and everything, but I think, because I've had it happen where I'll go talk to a character and the first thing that they say to me is voiced, and then everything in the conversation after that is just
really
not there.
There are also settings, like it's you can have it set to the Final Cut version with all of them voiced, but you can have classic mode where it's only the original voice lines too. So maybe you've got that set. It's only very, very small.
Right.
It's like 98% of them are voiced.
Yeah.
It was just weird to notice a few where I was like, oh, okay.
Mm. Yeah.
Because I'm very much doing it in the way of, if you don't know anything about Disco Elysium,
let's set it up.
Because I've apparently, huge surge in population with the Final Cut coming out. It wasn't a massively popular game on launch. It's just something that we knew about because we were, I guess, looking for stuff to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
It has become quite popular and obviously, a bunch more reviews, a bunch more people saying this is a masterpiece. But if you're one of the people who's only heard that and hasn't played it yet, this is a detective murder mystery noir-ish
kind of
point and click isometric game set in a fictional world where you play as the detective who sort of wakes up no memory and you stumble your way through trying to figure out what's going on and solving this case.
You have to solve a murder
and
also you're trying to kind of work out who you are.
Yeah, you've got full-blown amnesia.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're meeting people along the way, but your thoughts are also fully voiced along the way. So your brain is kind of talking to you. And so
In several different voices as well, because it opens up with like a little quote about the Furies or something from Greek mythology.
Yes.
And it's like all of your different aspects of your inner narration are voiced by separate voices or separate tones of from the same voice,
which are also become more persuasive or less persuasive the more you decide to agree with them, or the more you level up certain aspects of your characters, sort of like RPG set of stats.
Exactly.
So, it's relatively easy to get into in the sense that, you know, the art style and the story and everything is like so immediate and so fantastically done. And there's no, you know, you don't need to like learn combat or you don't need to like have reflexes or anything. You're just kind of walking around, talking to people, clicking on things. So it is easy to get into in that sense. But then there's also like kind of a lot going on, sort of like the way that you pick a personality at the start and you kind of are leveling up these different attributes of your personality, and that I'm still kind of trying to get to grips with that because it doesn't really ever tell you how that all works.
No. You've kind of got to go into those menus and dig and figure it out, but like part of what it is trying to do is make you feel disoriented at first, at least.
Yeah.
Like it seems like it's very much designed. This is my first time playing it, but it seems like it's built with the idea that like you can play this multiple times in very different ways.
Yes.
Because it is basically a choose your own adventure book.
Yeah.
But a very complicated one with lots of pages.
Yep.
Those things that you're leveling up are like, basically, I don't remember what the exact words they use are, but it's like confidence or anxiety or
logic, your ability to notice empathy.
Right.
And they dictate like the kind of what you can choose in conversation. So it'll be something like, I guess like someone giving you like a little riddle or a little puzzle. And if you've got the logic and all the problem solving part of your brain kind of leveled up enough, you'll be able to easily solve that. But if you don't, you'll fail at it and then you'll go down a different branching path in the conversation.
Exactly. So it'll be built with like there's a guy will go, "Hello, sir, would you like to buy an ice cream?" And
that's what the one thing we should say. The writing is really fantastic in this game.
Yes.
Yeah.
That ice cream line.
Well, but so here's where the writing does get good in this game.
You can
take a simple line that wasn't meant to be amazing. And if someone said it, they weren't looking for criticism. It's not like they mispronounced Konami. You can't jump down their throat for this one.
Leaning forward, a lot of slack on the headphone cord at the moment, folks.
Hello, sir, would you like to buy an ice cream? And then, like, if you don't have anything leveled up, it'll just be like, yes or no.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe if you've leveled up, like, manipulation, there'll be a little voice that comes in and goes, like, this guy's pupils dilated when you showed up, so I think he likes you. You could probably flirt your way into an ice cream. Blah, blah, blah. And then you get a third option. And if you've got a risk-taking one or whatever, it'll be like, punch him!
Yeah.
Punch him and take the ice cream.
Yeah.
Totally. And there's like, there's more, this is not like, you know, a list of 9 stats like in a normal RPG. There's like
heaps.
25 or something.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's like 4 main groups and yeah. then each of them has like 6 within it. Something like that.
Something like that. Yeah. And I think where it becomes the most interesting, because yeah, I played this for a few hours a couple of years ago.
Yep.
And felt very overwhelmed. But really like, yeah, the same as you, Tommy, like loved the style, loved the storytelling at the start.
Yeah, a lot of games, if you don't get the stat stuff, you can't really get on with it. But
right.
this, you can still, well, sort of because you have to, like by design, you can still pretty easily just kind of like muddle through.
Yes.
And just go around and talk to people and just pick what you think makes sense in the conversations without really realizing what's happening
yeah.
in the background.
And it's not sort of like you're not seeing huge sort of like wins or losses from those interactions at that early stage. I think where it becomes really useful and interesting is when you start interrogating people and trying to solve these various mysteries that start popping up. Because there is this one main one, but there's a bunch of other shit you can do
that's not necessarily
related to the murder.
You tasks will kind of be presented to you over the course of conversation, and like pretty quickly you fill up your little task list with like 10 things that just all come up from just talking to the first few people that you encounter.
And right. those are pretty much quests. And then at the same time you have thoughts, which
yes.
are secondary things that you're like, the idea is you're ruminating on them in the background,
yep.
and you've got to kind of equip them into slots, which it also doesn't tell you. So I wasted a bunch of time towards the start not doing any.
Yeah, I still don't really understand this. I've only unlocked one of them, but I don't quite get how it works.
You equip it. Time is always passing in the game when you're talking to people. So you've got a real time, or not a real time, but a clock
yes.
going, and you've got seemingly a time limit. A certain number of days that you will be able to do this for. And different things will happen on different days, like Majora's Mask or something, and then it will end and you either have solved it by then or you've died or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
In the background in your head, if you've got a thought equipped, it will take a set amount of time
mm-hmm.
to process that thought. And then when you do, you will get some piece of information or a benefit or
yeah,
whatever.
A bonus, right. a stat bonus, or that like there is one key one that you're very obviously presented with towards the start of the game that is told like, hey, if you do this, it might be actually like a bad thought or a negative thought
right.
to pursue. But if you do it, you'll be able to relate more to this character who will do something for you.
Yeah.
And you cannot do that if you don't want to. And or you can sort of compromise the way you're playing this character and be like, okay, I'll look into this shit, but I'm not going to take it seriously.
Because a big part of this game is literal role-playing. Like, you can establish your own character if you want, but there's also sort of 3 main types to pick from right at the beginning of like, do you want to be a very logical guy, a very charming guy, or another one?
A fighting guy.
Physical, a fighting
yeah.
guy.
Yeah.
the one I respect the least. So forgot about.
And there's a wife guy. You can be a wife guy.
Right.
And
family guy.
Family yeah. guy, yeah. Oh, no.
Tommy knocked over his own drink because he loved his Family Guy joke so much. So with the writing, it is very good. It is extremely well written, and it is in many different styles that are impressive to all be contained within the one thing, because it's like it's got a lot of different things going on. Because it is asking you to play the role of very specific types of people, it quite comfortably has like, yeah, you can be like very generous hero guy or whatever, that is in there. Or if your stats are all in this one thing, it's like it gives you opportunities to be a fucking total absolute cunt.
Yeah, 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 it does, yeah.
In an uncomfortable way.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Where the writing is there, and it's like a conversation people have about movies like 3 Billboards or something, where like when there's racism in a movie, does it make the movie racist?
Yeah.
And it's a strange feeling to have like, early on, you if you have a lot of logic and that type of character, which is the one I went for, it will give you a thing of like, do you want to turn into a real sexist piece of shit here? Do you want to start being a real fucking asshole?
Yeah, I have found those choices difficult, and I realize I kind of haven't really been playing. I haven't really been doing it in the role-playing way of sticking to the character type that I chose, which was the charming
right.
person. That seemed like that was going to be the most beneficial for doing an investigation and
sure.
you know, this game that is all based around talking to people. But then it feels like at certain points it sort of, by betraying that and by being a bit of a cunt or whatever, it sort of makes it feel like it's going to progress it the game and the story better than if you stuck to that instinct,
right?
Of you know what I mean?
Well, like, because you get presented with a lot of different choices, whether or not they fit your character. Sometimes,
yeah.
Like you would some of them are there as kind of like a joke thing of like throw a potato at this cunt or mm-hmm. whatever. Mm-hmm. Like,
yeah,
and if you pick that, it happens, and your character's done it. So you can be like this. It feels like they've written normal characters, and then they've written like, do you want to be fucking Rick and Morty Rick?
Right.
Kind of, and that sort of thing. But some of them are just like, do you want to be an actual like MRA dude?
Mm.
Right.
And the writing for that stuff is kind of gross to read, weirdly. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
I'm actually kind of finding myself be like, ah, you know, why am I having to read this?
That's interesting. I mean, I don't choose any of that stuff, but I also,
but it pops up there as like the choices.
Yeah, I don't know why a protagonist shouldn't be able to be like that if you can have an antagonist who's like that, and
right.
that's not a problem, right?
Yeah.
Like it's like, well,
I don't know where
they had to write a bad guy to say those awful things. So I think it's interesting. Like I've obviously, yeah, like I'm finding more interesting than the sort of the moral choices. I guess these are semi-moral. Is like, it starts to present political ideologies to you as well.
Yeah, yeah.
They become sort of dominant in certain conversations.
Mm. Because the world is a little like, it makes me think it's what it would be like to live in that 1984 world or something, where all the places have weird names. Mm-hmm. Everything's fucking, everyone's poor. Everything sucks. You know what? It just has that feeling of that like very fake constructed world that is, I mean, deliberately so by the powers of be or whatever, not
right.
fake as in when you are playing it, it comes across as disingenuous. Mm. But yeah, sorry.
So yeah, on the back of that, it feels like this specific area that you're playing in within a fully invented world is like, it is meant to be sort of like a heavy-handed, like there was a revolution.
Yeah.
The revolution was put down. Now this place is controlled by a coalition of foreign powers. Mm. And also there's unions, there's corporations. Like it's sort of like, this is all very like proper noun, like union with a capital U stuff.
Yeah.
But I think that's interesting. And that ties into the way you play your character as well. Cause I keep getting like, you're a communist. Like my inner voice is like, you know, you're like the personification of Karl Marx, like their version of Karl
Marx.
Yeah,
yeah.
And I'm
his
like,
his name is Karl something, right? Isn't
it's
it?
Like Krav Mazak. It's
Krav
Mazak
or
something
like that. Yeah, that's right.
Which is interesting because it starts to influence the decisions I make. Mm. I'm like, no, I don't want to be like a full radical communist. I don't know if that's going to be the best way to solve this murder. Mm. And then I've started to get options of like, oh, you're actually sort of like a liberal, you know, like you just want democracy and yeah, you got to sacrifice some of your morals. And I'm like, I don't want to do that either. But it's all written and it's all presented as options and it's all coming from my character and the characters
right.
I'm interacting with. Like there's so much here.
And the options are given to you in a way where it's like, almost like negative self-talk in your head.
Mm.
So you can choose to shut that thought down.
Yes, you can.
And it pops into you as an invasive thought, pretty much. That's how all these things come across. Where it's like, so you do this quest early on where like the guy behind a cafe where you are is like, you're trying to find someone who used to work there and they left because he came onto them. And like, it gives you options. This was a bit where like, and I'm not saying it's like, the game is bad for it. And people do have that opinion about that. But like, it gives you an option early on to be like, maybe she's just a fucking, and you know,
right.
goes on down that
dick
road.
Dick carousel, I think, is the specific,
maybe she's riding the dick carousel.
Yeah.
Dick. It doesn't say that, but maybe it'd be a little more lighthearted if it did. But like, it's just like,
I think, I mean, I do agree that it is weird,
but it is writing them as a character. Like it is very much writing it as one of 50 different types of characters that it's letting you.
Yeah,
sort of
it's
be.
Sort of like right. you do get the impression, but you know, because of the fact that this character has lost their memory because of, you know, drinking a lot.
Right.
And there is a. It's very heavily, like overtly stated when you first turn up in the cafeteria, you wake up from your hotel room of your room in this hostel that you have just been being a complete cunt while you've been there.
Yeah.
So reading that kind of gross stuff, like it is a bit like, oh man, but it's also like, it didn't feel too bad to have him say that because it's like, well, I yeah, this is a bad guy. I'm like getting the impression that he kind of is a bad guy. Yes. So I don't feel like I've just made this like blank canvas person who it's like, oh, I feel like I'm really,
right.
I don't want to do this. I'm really, it's like, I know I don't want to be saying this, but it sounds like that's the sort of thing that he would say and that he does buy into. So
and like you look at his face in the mirror and your voice in your head is like, you've got the slimiest smile and you never grinned.
Mm.
And it seems like, yeah, he's a kind of a fuckhead.
Yeah.
And it just gave me a reaction, you know?
That's probably good.
Reacting to things. Your empathy that's voice. My job.
Your empathy voice is active. That's good.
I'm one of them kids holding a Game Boy going, what's this? That's me just reacting.
I do need to, I think, really, lock in and just stick to a personality in it and kind of see that all the way through, because I do keep getting an option will come up and it's like, well, this kind of seems like the more interesting thing to click.
Right.
This seems like it would be more, it's like, I kind of want to see what happens if I do this to this person. And I'm sort of being a little bit, you know, but then being spooked off by it if the voice in the head is like, maybe don't do this. I sort of need to commit one way or the other and just like barrel through.
When you're so confused early on as to what's going on, that sort of experimentation leads you down a bunch of different paths.
That's true.
So it almost seems like the type of game where I will get a bad fucking ending this time. It will all go wrong. I won't solve the case and then play it again and it will be a more fun game the second time.
I'm certainly enjoying my second, and I only played it for a few hours originally. I feel like I am benefiting from having had the experience, or the beginning experience at least once before. I know that, maybe being a crazy eccentric maverick is going to lead to a dead end at one point. Like I started dying in my first playthrough of this game.
I died,
losing all my morale.
I passed out for a while, but you've got like health and morale that will go down if you get embarrassed.
Mm.
Yeah.
Or like will go down if you drink too much or whatever.
I lost my health by trying I lost my health by trying to kick in too many doors and died.
Well, I never did that. But there are a couple of things where, I tried to kick a furnace and it killed my character, which it's also been pointed out, while your character is sort of like slow-mo dying, you can heal. But I didn't actually know that. I just thought like, oh, you lose your health and you die.
No, you get little health packs and whatever. Yeah. But they're not health packs. They're like penicillin or something.
Yeah.
Or Panadol.
But also it's like, if this guy, this total drunk who's been on, like a binge for a week plus,
can enjoy Disco Elysium, then maybe I can too.
We should also quickly say that the reason we've played this and can talk about it is because we all traveled to the United States about a month ago. We did the 2 weeks of quarantine and then
I own the original version of Steam on Steam and they just updated it. And
fuck. All right. Well,
you set up an illegal PlayStation 5.
I got it.
No,
on
you
a
lied
ship.
About your address.
No, I got on a cruise ship and I went into international waters.
You said that you were George Bush on the form. I saw you do it.
Now watch this drive.
Yeah.
Yes. Oh, yeah. What I was saying was it makes sense that sometimes you like knock on a door too hard and your character dies because he's in a fucking way,
right?
Like there's not a lot happening where you're like, well, why couldn't I figure that out, why didn't I pass that test? It's like, because I shouldn't have,
because that's the other thing, you've got these stats but then it's also a dice roll on some things happening, and some of them you only get to attempt once ever, and then if it goes whichever way it goes, some of them you can come back later on and try again.
Yes.
Like there'll be a fake wall and you will have a look around and you'll be like, oh no, I think it's just a regular wall, but then you can come back later and be like, wait a minute, it is a fake wall.
Yeah. And sometimes you can redo them because of like conversations you had, or you just level up the relevant stat
and it'll tell you what all of those are.
Yes.
And it is a very well written game. Like it's funny, it's sweet when it wants to be, it's like fucking depressing when it wants to be.
The style is great, the style is so like just rock solid. The amount of stuff going on is so impressive. It never feels like, oh, I chose this, but you know, some of these kinds of things, it's trying to make you feel like you have a lot of choice, but then at a certain point you can tell, like, I think I was going to get, you know, this character was going to say this at this point sort of regardless of what.
Sure.
And, you know, sometimes there'll be things that kind of contradict stuff that you've kind of already chosen, whatever. This just seems like it truly or every choice you're making is leading you to like a completely unique set of things being said to you, and then the way people treat you when you go back to them and all that kind of stuff. Like, it really feels so alive, and like it really has remembered like every single thing that you've done.
It feels insanely complicated.
Yeah.
Like, you can imagine a big fucking spreadsheet that they've got with all these different branching paths.
Yeah.
Because everything kind of plays in with everything else too. It feels like a lot of different people who are kind of unrelated will end up having an effect on a different part of the world. And, you know, like,
it all feels
cohesive.
Very cohesive.
In that way. I don't much care for the way it looks, to be honest.
Oh, okay.
It looks good in still frames, but in motion, I just thought that the animation and the kind of, like the kind of watercolory style that it has doesn't work that well when it's all, you can see the polygons moving around.
Oh, okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. I love it though. I understand that, but I love it. Yeah. It's very watercolory. It's like, there's not, maybe a little lack of fidelity or something. But
there's not much going on when you're in like a conversation or whatever.
A lot of
the time it is just a static image, basically.
Yeah. But also, lots of text. If you're like I was playing Kentucky Route Zero and I forgot that it's all text. There's no voice acting.
Right.
But I don't mind that.
No.
But it's something to note if you're someone who's like, oh, I've got to read all this stuff.
I've been playing it so with all the voices on and kind of listening to all the acting going through. And I think I might just turn them off and do it like a book. Because
It is.
The acting's good.
The acting is good, and it does. There's so much personality and it does really add to it. But I really find that I'm sort of finding it distracting. Like, there's too many things happening on the screen at once. We have these big blocks of text, and I'm often like, I'm reading quicker than it's acting it out. And you know, you kind of want
to, and it's all there is to do as well.
Exactly.
All that's changed on the screen is now you've got a new paragraph of text, and so of course you're going to read it.
Yeah.
But then, you know, the acting is good but slow.
Yeah.
Or, you know, speech,
right?
Speed.
Yeah.
Which is evidently quite slow.
Apparently, people turn up the speed on podcasts.
Yeah.
Or there's even a setting on some apps that
cuts
out the silences.
Cool. So it is all good, but it's a bit much.
Right.
Yeah.
I guess like
there's a lot
the fact
to
that
it.
They voiced every line is cool. Especially like if you could play this game without being able to see particularly well, that'd be awesome. Mm.
Yes, very true.
If you do want to, like, just, settle in and just not really be looking at the text and just kind of listen to it and, like, look around the rest of the screen and take all that in. But it feels like such a shame to turn the voice acting off.
Yeah.
Given that, knowing that they have gone to the trouble of getting acting done for every single line. But
especially the guy who's your main inner voice is so, like,
slow.
He's so good.
Yeah.
Like, he's so sinister.
Yes.
As well as being, like, having a good descriptive voice.
A good narrative. Yeah, sort of he's like the Do you remember Bastion? Do you ever play that?
A little bit.
It had a very similar sort of vibe. Right. A very sort of cinematic storytelling voice.
Yeah.
Very engaging. I'm very happy that I've played... And I've played probably the first 7-8 hours of this game now in the past 2 days. I've really loved it. I'm really back in on it. And I am very happy that I've played it with the voice acting because it is very good at emphasizing the character of these very interesting characters.
Yes.
But I may switch it off, yeah.
Yeah. It's a very, like, you've got to be paying attention the whole time.
Yes.
It's a very complex and unerring game. Like, it is doing what it's doing, and it's doing, like, 50 different things. Well, that's too many, but it's doing...
Four?
Doing a lot.
Well, six or seven, probably, different things, kind of all at the same time. And some of them are... they're all really well written, and sometimes to the point where you're like, oof.
Mm.
It is actually funny.
Yeah.
It does the rare thing. We've done that a bunch.
I think we've played a few games in a row that have been genuinely funny. Now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's cool. It just is like, it's such a ridiculous thing to imagine that they seem to have pulled off.
Right.
Yeah.
This seemingly impossible. It choose your own adventure game.
Yeah.
I think a good comparison for the detective work is what was it called? Return of the Obra Dinn, because it is, right. mm-hmm. it genuinely, you like, yeah, you get aided by the voices in your head. And that's an interesting mechanic, but you also have to remember shit yourself. You have to be like, oh, this person said that about this person. So if I mention this, it's going to affect them in this way. Like, it genuinely uses like persuasive detective work to solve sometimes not crimes, just interesting stories.
Yeah.
But I'm finding, yeah, the more I get into the murder mystery and sort of like the union stuff, the politics and all of the weird shit going on, it's rewarding my actually paying attention and trying to think things through.
And it will punish your not doing that too.
Yes.
By you can just die.
Yeah.
yeah.
Someone will shoot you.
Yeah.
Or you can fucking jump off a building or whatever. Like, it, and but not for an arbitrary way, not the way of like, do you want to go left or right? You went left. That was the trapdoor. See you later, cunt.
Yeah, yeah. You can see exactly where. I think I read somewhere that it's possible to die within like the first minute.
Right.
Yeah. Well, there was a bit where like my inner voice went, hey, maybe don't keep doing this actually, because right. I don't think this is going in a good direction. And I was like, no, I want to see what happens. That is like, okay, you passed out for 4 hours, dumb cunt.
Yeah, great.
I did read somewhere that the voice never lies to you. Like if it's saying back off, then like you can see what happens. But if it's saying this is a bad idea, it's generally you should listen to it. It's not, it's because I've kind of had the thing in my head of like, but really, is this a red herring? Like, meant to really trust this?
With like RPGs and stuff like this, kind of the habit is to do literally every dialogue choice.
Right. Yes, yes,
just
yes.
Just go through and see what happens.
Yeah.
And you're not meant to do this one like that.
Yeah, yeah. I will say playing it on the PS5, as you would expect, it's not quite as good. Like, you know, having a mouse and being able, I think you can hold down tab and see everything that you can click on the screen. Yeah. Of course, that's not going to be in there, but... and I have, this is another one of the kind of big issues that it had when it launched on the PS5. So you use the left stick to move and you use the right stick to kind of select stuff on the screen that you can interact with. And sometimes it's registering of you, like you'll be standing in front of a drawer and selecting it and pressing X to open, and it just won't do it unless you're in like a very specific point on the screen, which I would think that I think they've patched it to make it a little better since it came out, and I would have to assume that they're working to make that even more smooth. But I didn't realize also you can get it on Mac, so I kind of wish I had have done that. But yeah, still looks and plays great. It's just a little thing that you, and it's whatever, you don't get penalized for not being able to select something quick enough, so it really doesn't matter all
that
much.
Yeah.
It's a fucking good ass game.
Oh yeah.
It's very cool.
It's a very cool game.
Official cool award from Filthy Casuals.
Three thumbs up.
Yes.
Yeah.
I grew an extra fucking thumb. Two thumbs up, mate. That's the maximum.
I wanted to add an extra thumb to something that you guys were talking about last week.
Okay.
Monster Hunter Rise. I went in this week and I am loving it.
It's fun.
I don't really know.
You couldn't get more opposite games than this. Yeah. Those are two great ones to play at once, because one has no gameplay and the other one has no story.
Yeah.
You jam those two together, bitch, you got the best game in the world. You get the fuck out of my face with that shit.
Yeah, I don't
know. A Monster Hunter calling me that. Like a fucking slur.
I don't quite know what is so different about this from World, but I kind of think it just feels a lot more streamlined for the beginner and a lot easier. And maybe it was going in knowing what I think, what you both had said about it last week, which was that there is depth to it, but there's not as much going on as you might be scared that there is.
Right.
It's essentially very simplistic.
Yes.
Right.
In its nature. And yeah, it clicked with me immediately. And like all the graphical stuff, like, yeah, it's pretty muddy looking. But I kind of don't mind the fact that now I know that when I get to the end of this, I've got World there ready to dive back into, which is just a much richer and better looking. I kind of like that there's like a, you know, doing them in reverse.
Yeah.
Where there's like a nice, like kind of upgraded version.
Yeah. This is the appetizer.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Feels great. Very fun. The simplicity of it, I gave it a go in handheld mode a couple of times, which weirdly makes it look a little bit better. It has been designed mostly to be played portably.
Yes.
Right? It's got a lot of history with handheld devices. So, yeah, it almost works better as a...
It looks a lot sharper.
That sort of thing. Jankiness. But yeah, really, really loving this game.
To the point where you would buy peripherals for it specifically for your Switch?
I have indeed.
Yeah.
Bought the Hori.
Which is what?
It's a Switch. Yes.
It's a word you hear a lot in Disco Elysium.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
If you play I've bought the way we all naturally want to play it.
I bought the Dick Carousel peripheral for the Nintendo Switch, which is like the two, it's like a pro controller cut in two that sort of slides onto the side of the Switch.
Yeah.
How
is it? Have you tried it out yet?
No, I've ordered. I don't have it in my possession.
I thought you said you picked it up just before.
No, I got an email from Amazon saying that it's on its way.
Oh, I was going to get you to do a live unboxing.
Yeah, oh, right. No. But yeah, great, okay. Great fucking game. Give it a go. If a Monster Hunter has never grabbed you before, I still think that you could have a good time with this one. I really don't know. I think maybe it's like there just seems to be like less stats up on the screen. I remember trying to craft weapons in World and it's saying a lot more dense and overwhelming. Like I think this just does like a much better job of kind of getting you in the mix and showing you very early on. It's like, this is all you do. You go out and you just like, you accept this quest, you just go out and you kill this big thing. I think also like when I started World, I didn't really know what I was in for, and like being a little bit put off by not having like a health bar for the monsters and you know, these battles that last for ages and kind of not really knowing. And I guess I just didn't at the time like feel like playing a game where I would sit down and it could potentially be an hour. Like, and I didn't really know like how long this one thing was going to take to do. But I think knowing that that's what I'm in for this time around has made a lot of difference too. It's like, yeah, you just settle in and it's like, yep, cool. If this takes an hour, it takes an hour. Like, that's part of the fun, is like it flies away and then you chase after it. And yeah. And like it is insane to me that riding around a dog and having the wire bugs hasn't always been in the series, because it like
it's real
that
fun.
Kind of fast movement around the map makes it, again, that's another thing that I think makes it a lot more easily accessible for a noob.
I agree. It just feels more fun to move around in the world.
Yeah, that's
in this
fair.
One.
Yeah,
having a little heckin' doggo.
Oh, dude, pop me up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All right, well, it's time to palamute this conversation. And
Hey, Powell, Co, I agree. Ben?
Monster Hunter Rise.
Yeah.
I actually think they're similar games in one way, where it's like the both games give you a bunch of different options of how to approach one relatively simple thing.
Yeah, true.
Yeah, that's very true.
And they're all very viable.
Yeah,
very
yes.
different, but
yes.
all, yeah, okay.
That's richly, Jerry's final thought for this episode.
Richly designed world, too. Like, that's the thing I have always liked about the Monster Hunter series from afar, is that there seems to be such a lot of
they're
thought.
They're from Japan.
Hmm? Yeah.
They're not from afar.
Well, that's afar from here.
Oh. I was saying it like afar was a country. I've got to lean this chair back further, dude.
there's such a lot of thought put into like the reality of this world and like how that like there's a lot of sense behind like, oh, this one over here, this is how it works in this ecosystem, and this one over here, and here's how they interact. And like you can tell there's like a lot of care put into making it a very believable world where you have a cat running around fighting with you and talking to you.
I like that thing that it does too, that is also a very Nintendo-y thing to do, where instead of having a bunch of menus where you can do stuff, there are physical people in a village and you walk up to them and they're like, my job is to be this menu.
Yes.
But I'm this guy.
Yeah, yeah.
It's fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is cool. Yeah. Anyway, let's wrap it up there for another week. filthycasuals.com.au. For the links to all the stuff we have going on, we've got the Patreon where you can get a bonus episode every week. You can get early access to the YouTube videos. Mm. Check out the YouTube channel. You can also, you can get our full series of A Way Out, Until Dawn, and Heavy Rain.
Yeah.
And then we've just started It Takes Two. That's it for this week. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time. And as we say here at the end of every episode of Filthy Casuals,
the end of the podcast is coming. You should think of something to say right at the final part. Say a slur! Say a slur! You should probably say a slur at the end! Say a slur! You should apologize for everything you said. It wasn't very good. Lean back more. Lean back more and see what happens. It's like that. That's Disco Elysium,
isn't it? Yeah.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.